Good morning. Good morning to each one. We are glad to have you with us this morning for our Sunday morning worship service here at Central Church of Christ, located in Johnson City, Tennessee. We appreciate the presence of each one for all those joining in to worship, whether here in the auditorium at the building, or perhaps viewing our services online via YouTube, Facebook Live, or perhaps you're listening in on our audio feed off of our website, gracemind.org. Wherever you are this morning, it's great to have you, and we're glad that you've chosen to be with us as we worship God. When we come together to worship God, we try to do so striving to do according to His Word as we find it in the New Testament, the inspired writings of the apostles. And just like the Christians of the first century did, according to the writings of the apostle and their teachings. And in doing so, we hope that each one will be uplifted and encouraged and strengthened in the faith. And most of all, of course, we hope and pray to please God, to honor Him, and to magnify Him. So as we enter into worship, let's put all thoughts of a worldly nature out of our minds and concentrate solely on worshiping Him. Let's do so now.
Let's all stand, please, as we sing.
We declare that the kingdom of God is here.
Seated, please.
Wonderful, merciful Savior, precious Redeemer and friend, who hath for that a lamb could rescue the souls of men. Oh, you rescue the souls of men. Counselor, comforter, keeper, spirit, we long to
that we
Before we go to our Father in prayer, we will sing, I Am a Sheep.
I am a sheep and the Lord is my shepherd. Watching over my soul. My soul to keep guarding over me ever.
I ask you to stand as we go to God in prayer. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, you brought us into this world. You sustain our lives on a daily basis. You bless us far beyond any worthiness that we deserve. Heavenly Father, we come to your throne of grace now, praying for those that we're aware of that are sick. Lord, we realize that if we lose even a small portion of our health, how blessed we truly are. Heavenly Father, we pray for the eldership here and their guidance of the flock. We realize, Heavenly Father, that they're responsible for their actions and what they do. We pray, Heavenly Father, that they seek only wisdom from your word. Heavenly Father, we pray for Tim and for Greg and their ministering here. Pray for the deacons as they carry out the Lord's work here. Heavenly Father, we at this time realize how frail we really are. And we realize, Heavenly Father, that virus that has plagued us for 2 years makes us realize how much we should depend on you. We pray, Heavenly Father, that we'll always seek your will and guidance in all things that we say and do. Heavenly Father, we pray for the young people and growing up in a world that the morality is something that we as older people can't even comprehend, but they've got to make decisions in their lives to listen to grandparents, parents, great-grandparents that were brought up in a world that God was first and foremost. Heavenly Father, we pray now as we continue in this worship to you. We pray that we'll worship you in spirit and in truth. We thank you that you've given us the opportunity, the ones that can assemble, even the ones that viewing at home, that we can worship you. And we thank you for that day that you set forth. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the most precious word that you left for us, that we can use it to guide our lives, to teach others, to be encouraged by it, to be uplifted in it. Heavenly Father, even when we wake in the middle of the night, we realize that as your children, we can come to you and thank you for another day, and thank you for guidance throughout that day, that we can be that onward Christian soldier, never lukewarm in your adherence to your word. Heavenly Father, but we also realize that we're frail and we're weak and we fall short. And Heavenly Father, you've told us if we walk in the light and strive to do your will, that that blood can be applied and we can be your faithful children again. We pray, Heavenly Father, forgiveness of sins, that this prayer might not be hindered. And we ask all this in the name of our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Before the scripture reading, and Tim brings us the lesson, we will sing Heavenly Sunlight. Walking in
sunlight.
Here at Central, we have a wonderful children's training class. This is a good time to, if you're going to partake of that service, out the doors and to the right. And I'm sure you could just follow all the little ones straight to where you need to be. Our scripture reading this morning, if you want to be turning there, will be from Proverbs chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. Proverbs 4, 1 through 7. And I will be reading from the English Standard Version. Hear, O sons, a father's instruction, and be attentive that you might gain insight. For I give you good precepts. Do not forsake my teaching. When I was a son with my father, tender, the only one in the sight of my mother, he taught me and said to me, let your heart hold fast my words, keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get insight. Do not forget and do not turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will keep you. Love her, and she will guard you. The beginning of wisdom is this: get wisdom, and whatever you get insight.
Praise God, from whom all blessings flow, and there are so many. We have spent this past week thinking especially about our blessings, although that's a good habit to have every day of our lives. But I trust you have been blessed by being with loved ones or having extra food to eat or whatever it may be. But we're here to give thanks to God. He is the giver of all good gifts, and we praise him for everything. We're so glad that you have joined us this morning. We have several in the building, maybe not as many as last week, but we have a good number here. And we know we have many others that are online with us, watching or listening. And we are glad for all of you to be here with us today. I feel a need to introduce a couple who are here for the first time, and that is Cadence and Chloe Bearfield, right over here. Raise your hand over there. They're sleeping. But these are the newborn twins of Cassie and David Bearfield. And Dylan, big brother, is helping out greatly. But we are so happy to see these new ones. And we have a wealth of these little ones here in the congregation. And we are just happy for that. We give thanks to God for blessing us with this. But whether you are visiting with us, or regular, whatever, we're happy you're here. We urge you to come back and join us again this evening at 6 o'clock. Lord willing, we will meet again at that time and study together from God's Word. The topic of our study is a phrase or a statement Jesus made that has intrigued many for a long time. What does it mean? When Jesus says, "Wisdom is justified by all her children." What is that? And often we just say, well, I don't get it, and we read on. But there's a wonderful lesson there. And I really hope you'll come back and join us at 6 o'clock as we gather to study from God's Word and to again praise him for all of his goodness. Now get your Bible out. I hope you've got your Bible with you, that you will open it and travel along with us in the Word. I want you to look at it as I read it out loud, and that way we work together to make sure we understand what God has told us. First, let me tell you about what happened several years ago. The first time I traveled outside of the U.S., and I was flying into Lima, Peru, where my second son was living at the time, and Lima is a city of about 10 million people, and it's a large airport. And it is a country where Spanish is the native tongue. There's a lot of people there that speak English, but I was just kind of nervous. Well, more than kind of. I was very nervous about getting off the plane. I was by myself. At least I didn't go with anybody I knew. And my son was to meet me there in the airport. And I was so glad when I heard him calling my name and telling me, "Go that way." And throughout the entire trip to Peru, I was by his side because without him, I didn't understand a lot of what was being said. I couldn't read a lot of the signs that were there. I was going to get lost easily. I needed a guide. And you've been in that situation. I feel confident. Well, in the same way, we all have this thing in common. And that is, this is our first time through life. I don't think anybody's been through it before. I don't think that's possible. But do we really know where we're going? Do we know how to get to that good destination? And we may think we do, but then sometimes we are rudely awakened and we say, wow, this is not where I meant to end up. Is there not somebody that can guide me through life? And that's why this statement in Proverbs 7 verse 4 intrigued me. It is one that really piqued my interest. And here's what Solomon says in Proverbs 7 and verse 4. Say to wisdom, you are my sister, and call insight your intimate friend. Call insight your intimate friend. And it got me thinking, well, what is that? What does that really mean? And let's look at that together, because again, I think there's a marvelous lesson here, and one that will help us get to our destination, our desired destination in life, that is, if we are desiring the very best. First of all, let's talk about our constant need for insight for God's wisdom. Our constant need for insight from God's wisdom. Now let's talk about that word insight for just a bit. The word, the Hebrew word, is found 38 times in the Old Testament. Usually it is translated as understanding, sometimes as discretion. And in your translation, the word insight may not appear at all. In the English Standard Version, it does a few times. And that's what got me wondering, well, what is it about insight that is being stressed here? Make it your intimate friend. There's a statement I found by Arthur Gordon Webster. I don't know anything about him other than he lived about 100 years ago. He said, nothing in life is more exciting and rewarding than the sudden flash of insight that leaves you a changed person. That sudden flash of insight that leaves you a changed person. And what we often refer to it as is the aha moment. Oh, now I get it. I didn't understand before, but now I understand, and it causes us to look on things in life in a very different way. And that's the idea that we're looking at when we talk about the English word insight, and I believe it's also very much the idea of the Hebrew word. And let's think of it in this way. Let's suppose that we're going to ride a horse. And if you're like me, I am a total novice. And I need somebody to give me a few hints about how to get on a horse, what to do once you get on it, how to make it stop. A lot of things like that. Everson could tell us all about it, I'm sure, as could several others of you. But that's insight. I don't know anything about riding a horse, but some of you do, and you can give me insight about it. And it works with other things in life as well. That's why those how-to videos are so popular on YouTube. You know, I don't know how to repair this device, how to change this filter. Well, there's somebody that can give us insight. And that's the idea. Now we can see. Now, when you go to the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 1, let's look at the very beginning at verse 2. After the introduction, here's how he begins this book of Proverbs. Proverbs 1 and verse 2. To know wisdom and instruction. This is the purpose of the book, the writer is saying. To know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight. To understand words of insight. And so we're talking not only about wisdom, which is what we normally associate with the book of Proverbs, but also insight, that ability to say, oh, I now get it. James and Fawcett and Brown in their comments say, understanding, that is, words which enable one to discern good and evil. Words which enable us to discern good and evil. Is this a good food to eat? Wisdom will teach me that, but whether I apply that wisdom or not is another matter. That's insight. I now see what is best, and therefore I choose it. John Goldingay, in his comments on Proverbs chapter 1, verse 2, says, understanding words of insight implies the ability to analyze, the discernment to see behind things or to read between the lines, and the discrimination to make decisions in the light of that. And there's really what we're talking about. It's the ability to say, well, there's more to it than what I saw before. Here is what God says, and now let me apply that wisdom in making the right decision. And so again, insight is so important. Insight, I would suggest, is what makes a physician excellent or not. Generally, they are. They have taken a long time to study, to prepare themselves. They have many tools available for use in treating illnesses, diagnosing illnesses. Their insight is what we don't have, and that's why we go to them. And so again, you see, this idea of insight is so important in whatever sphere of life we're talking about. Now let's go to Proverbs chapter 4. This is the passage that David read for us a few moments ago. And let's look there at three times the word insight is mentioned in those first seven verses. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 1. He begins by saying, "Hear, O sons, a father's instruction, and be attentive that you may gain insight." So there's a couple of things there I think we ought to note. Number one is that insight is gained by hearing the instruction of the Father. And here it is, inspired instruction in the Word of God. Hear it and then be attentive. Because we all know we can hear things and not really be paying attention. Not really take it to heart. So he begins by saying, hear the instruction, be attentive that you may gain insight. Drop down to verse 5 and look again. Get wisdom, get insight. Do not forget and do not turn away from the words of my mouth. And while some may say, well, he's just simply repeating the idea, I think it's more than that. I think he's saying you can get wisdom and yet not have insight. I can know the Bible by heart, I can recite it, but do I apply it? Do I actually use it in my life to make decisions? And that's the difference. I have to know it to begin with, but then do I use it once it is in my heart? And then go down to verse 7. He says, the beginning of wisdom is this, get wisdom, and whatever you get insight. And again, it's not simply repeating the idea of wisdom using a different word. I think he's saying, use what you learn. I mean, it's good that you're sitting here at my feet listening to what I'm saying, but will you use it once you leave my presence? That's what the writer is saying. And so again, it's important that we have wisdom, but of what value is wisdom if it is not used? So Proverbs 4 stresses the importance of it again. Go to Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 6. Let's look at another couple of ideas as we're thinking about this concept. Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 6, where he says, leave your simple ways and live and walk in the way of insight. Leave your simple ways. And to me, that suggests that, you know, I can look at something and say, well, I get it. I see what it is. It's going to be good for me. Let's jump into it. And yet insight says, let's wait a minute. Let's think about this before we jump right in. The mouse ought to be thinking, why did somebody leave that piece of cheese right there in a bite size just where I can get to it? Is there something more than just that cheese? In the same way, for many things Satan will use to tempt us. On the face of it, it looks great, it looks good, but that may not be what I should do. And so he says, use insight, leave your simple ways. And again, in Proverbs chapter 9, look at verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. And that again stresses the importance of going to the Word of God. This is where insight comes from. And if you really want to look at life with clear vision, not clouded by sin, not clouded by your own desires, if you want to see life clearly the way God wants you to see it, you're going to need His knowledge. So insight, again, is so important, so very important. And again, let me go back to the illustration of medicine, because we live in an age where imaging devices have really helped a great deal. There's so many things available for the medical professionals. They can turn to the MRI, to CT scans, x-rays, lots of things like that. and they can look inside without actually surgically opening you up. And that way they can diagnose the problem, they can address the problem. Maybe it will require opening you up, but not until they know. And that's the idea. Wouldn't it be nice if we had something in life that would enable us to see right through what is before us and know exactly what it is? Well, we can. That's insight. Insight based on the wisdom God gives us in His Word. Now, let me talk a bit about the benefits of insight as our intimate friend. And here's where I want to stress that idea, our intimate friend. And an intimate friend is somebody that will be with us through thick or thin. They'll stay by our side, like the guide that we talked about earlier. I'll get lost if you're not with me. Stay with me. And insight is that intimate friend. Now, why? What will that help us with? Well, let me broadly put it into two different categories, which are obvious. And that is, number one, God's insight keeps us from doing wrong, or sin, as the Bible calls it. God's insight keeps us from doing those things that are wrong, and especially those things that are sinful. Let me give you some examples from the Proverbs, and these can be found throughout the Bible, of course. But go with me to Proverbs chapter 7 and verse 5. This is right after the statement where he says, make insight your intimate friend. In fact, let's read verses 4 and 5. Say to wisdom, you are my sister. Call insight your intimate friend. Why? To keep you from the forbidden woman, from the adulteress with her smooth words. And I think we can say generally that means it will keep us from sexual sins. Those kinds of sins are some of those most powerful of all. The desire that people have physically, not everybody, but most people, it's something that entices us, it pulls us in, and we know it just saturates our world now, especially with the internet. And yet he says, with insight, you will be kept from that. Now how does that work? Because now you understand this is wrong. Even though we may call it a victimless crime, yet there are victims, including us. And if we do this, like Joseph said to Potiphar's wife, how can I do this and sin against my God? But without insight, you're going to say, this feels good. Here's a good opportunity. Let's just jump right into it and enjoy. No. Insight will keep you from making that very critical mistake. Or look again at Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 12. Here's another area where insight can keep us from doing that which is wrong. Proverbs 11 and verse 12. Whoever belittles his neighbor lacks sense, but a man of understanding remains silent. Do we need help with that? How we use our tongues? Absolutely. That's one of the easiest ways to offend other people and offend God. And yet he says, with wisdom, with the fear of the Lord, with God guiding us, we learn. There are things that we just don't say. In fact, there are times it is better just to not say anything. But without God's insight, we just keep on spouting out whatever comes to our mind. We think about it later. We may regret it later. But with insight, you think about it before you say it. Proverbs 14 and verse 15, another area where we are kept from doing that which is wrong. The simple believes everything, but the prudent gives thought to his steps. And again, this is like the simple person that we read about earlier who says, well, this looks okay to me. Let's just jump right in. Isn't that why scams are so successful? You mean you're offering me a $500 gift card from Walmart just for filling out this survey? Wow, yeah, let's do that. Or you're going to give me an inheritance from somebody I never knew I was related to? Think about it. Be discerning. look closely at what is before us and don't just jump into everything just because it looks like it is a good situation. Proverbs 19, verse 11. Now, I realize none of us need this, but let's read it anyway. Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 11, good sense makes one slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook an offense. I doubt that any of us need that help, do we? Or maybe we do. Maybe all of us struggle with this problem of anger and allowing it to express itself in inappropriate ways. And yet again, notice what he says. God's wisdom, God's insights will help us to say, let me hold off before I express my anger because it may not be justified. I may be angry for an entirely wrong reason. And even if it is for the right reason, is this the right way to express it? Boy, how much better this world would be if we could just think those things before jumping in and exploding. And when you think about this, about insight keeping us from doing that which is wrong, I think about Jesus in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, he is in the wilderness. He has been fasting for 40 days. And now Satan appears and says, hey, if you're the Son of God, you can satisfy that hunger. Your fast has been long enough. Just turn those stones into bread. And you know, Jesus could have done that without any problem. You and I couldn't, but Jesus could. And Jesus knew he could. But he also knew it's not right to follow the advice of the devil. It's not right to put precedence above God's word. In fact, here's what he says in Matthew 4, verse 4. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. So guiding my life by God's word is more important than eating bread. And that's what Jesus knew. Now, generally, it is not wrong to eat bread. But in certain situations, it might be. And in that one, it would have been. And so Jesus allowed the insight from God's word to keep him from doing that which Satan tempted him to do. Wouldn't it work the same with us? If we are armed with the knowledge of God's word, and if we have those insights that cause us to look at life differently, it'll keep us from straying from the right path. But here's a second category, and that is we need the benefit of insight because it will show us the best way to live. Because we often don't know the best way to live. We need that instruction. And if insight is my intimate friend, I'll know these things. Let's look at Proverbs 19. Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 17. And here is one example of knowing the better way to go. Proverbs 19 and verse 17. Whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will repay him for his deed. Now, why in the world would I want to take my goods that I have worked for, I've earned them honestly, I've spent hours doing this, why would I want to take my goods and give them to somebody that's poor? Because the wisdom of God says, this is right. In fact, when you do that, you are lending to the Lord, and the Lord will repay you. Now, you don't get that by just looking around at the world and listening to what the world says on media or on television. You do get it from Scripture. And when we take the time to learn and to get those insights, then when we have opportunity to share with others, we're glad. Because we know that we're essentially lending to the Lord. And then look at another example in Proverbs chapter 27. Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 2. And here again, the writer says, let another praise you and not your own mouth, a stranger and not your own lips. Does anybody like a braggart? I mean, tell me, do you like somebody that goes around tooting their own horn, as we say, bragging about their accomplishments? I don't, and I don't think anybody does, really. And this says again, don't make that mistake. Here's the better way to live. Live a quiet life. And if you've done something praiseworthy, somebody will say something about it. Let them do it and not yourself. And you're going to get along with people a lot better than if you had been saying, oh, look at me, look at what I've done. No, others will do that. You just do what you do and let it be quiet. And then once again, Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 9. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 9. And here the writer says, whoever walks in integrity walks securely. But he who makes his ways crooked will be found out. Integrity means that I am what I appear to be. I am that way inside and out. I'm not putting on a front. I'm not just acting like I'm a virtuous person, and yet when I'm by myself, I'm doing this and that, and it's pretty awful. No, I am a person of integrity. And there are times we say, well, you know, nobody's around. Nobody knows what I'm doing. But we know. And God knows. And it may be the world will find out eventually. And then where will we be? Better to be a person of integrity than to put on a front when we're not actually that person. And there's so many examples like this throughout the Proverbs, throughout the Bible. Generally, this insight that we're talking about means that we know now how to look at life. And we know because God has guided us. His wisdom is our intimate friend with us at every moment. You know, people that want to be rich invest a lot of money in courses for money management. I mean, they're available, and I'm not saying it's wrong to do that. Sometimes it's a good idea. But what about life management? Are there any courses for that? And how much would it cost? That's what the book of Proverbs is all about, life management. And guess what? It's free. And if you don't have a Bible, I'll get you a copy. Others will get you a copy, because these are things we need to know that will make our lives so much better. Let me close with one other passage outside of the book of Proverbs. It's still in the realm of wisdom literature. It's in Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 1. Ecclesiastes 10 and verse 1 is one of the most colorful statements in the Bible. Listen to what he says there in Ecclesiastes 10 and verse 1. Dead flies, that's not pleasant to think about. Dead flies, excuse me, make the perfumer's ointment give off a stench. So a little folly outweighs wisdom and honor. Now, what does that mean? Well, it means that dead flies will make your perfume stink. And if you went out on Black Friday and paid a sizable amount for a bottle of perfume for your loved one, and yet you get it home and you say, well, there's dead flies in there, but that doesn't matter. Oh, it'll matter. It will matter greatly. And they're just small, but they will overcome the effect of the total gift. So what is he saying? You may have lived an honorable life, one that people look up to and say, wow, what a good job you've done. And yet one indiscretion that comes to light, and we see it all the time with celebrities, with politicians, one indiscretion comes to life and everything is overturned, and now they're a laughingstock. They're not honored like they once were. Insight will keep us from that. Insight based on the will of God will help us to live the life that we want to live and should be living. So let's get that wisdom from God's word. But more than that, let's use that wisdom through insight. Where are you this morning in God's plan? If you've not yet surrendered to God's will by becoming a Christian, I urge you to do that this day, right now. The water is ready, it's warm, Everything is ready. Are you? Do you believe that Jesus is God's Son? Are you ready to turn away from sin, repenting of it? And will you confess Him before others and then be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins? Those things take moments, but the effects will be eternal. We'd like to help you with that. And if you've done that and yet you've turned away, you've not been walking in wisdom, and sin is taking control of your life again, come home. Repent of that sin and let's pray together for God's forgiveness. We'd love to help you if you'll let us know as we stand together and sing. One thing we can say is that Seth cares about people he comes in contact with. He is thinking this morning about a teacher he had in high school who is going through a kind of a rough spot with a dear relative. I'm not going to name names, but God will know, and Seth knows, of course. And Seth is just asking that we pray for God's wisdom to guide this teacher to do the right things and say the right things so that this family member will do well and that there will not be a problem in that relationship. And so in a moment, we're going to pray for this friend, this teacher, and pray that God will guide this person. I also want to mention a couple that have been watching, worshiping with us online for the last 2 or 3 weeks. They live in Vermont, and they are planning to move here next year, and they're coming in March to look for housing, and they've asked that we pray for them as they go through this time of transition. We also have another 2 couples with us this morning who are planning to move here, and one of them is looking for a position, and we want to pray for her as well, that God will open doors and help things to work out so that they can also be among us. We live in an area that is very desirable, and other people are finding out. So let's pray for those that are in our spiritual family, that God will guide them here and help them and have a good transition. But let's go to God in prayer right now. Will you bow with me? Our God and our Father in heaven, we do praise you, Lord, for your greatness, your mercy, your love. It helps us so much, Father, to know that you listen when we speak and that you care about us. And Father, most of all, we thank you for Jesus that gives us this privilege, for his offering on the cross. Lord, help us to always stay close to your Son. And Father, we thank you for prayer, this ability to ask for blessings. Please be with the teacher that Seth has mentioned, for the problem that is going on between her and the loved one that she has. Father, bless them that they may say and do what will help the relationship and not further cause problems. Lord, we just pray that you'll bless the situation. And for these families, Father, that are making transitions in their lives, moving to our area, we are so happy to hear of this. But Lord, we pray that you will open doors for them and help them to find the places to live, to find the jobs that they need. And Lord, we just ask that you will bless these families, that soon they may be a part of our family here at Central. But Lord, we just thank you for all you do for us. Bless us, Lord, and help us to always be faithful to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Before we share the Lord's Supper together, let's sing Thomas' song.
Jesus, you are all to me.
Please go ahead and prepare your cups. Like to read a verse, please. Luke 22, verse 19. It is also above. And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." Let us pray. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the many blessings. Father, be with each of us as we take this bread that represents your Son's broken body on the cross of Calvary. Father, may we take it in remembrance of what he has done for us. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Let's continue. Reading Luke 22, verse 20. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you." Let's pray. Father, as we continue in prayer, we ask you to bless this cup that represents your Son's blood that was shed for the sins of the world. Father, may we take this cup and do this in remembrance of thee. In Jesus' name, amen. The elders have set this time for the giving, either in the baskets in the back or online or sending it into the offices. But this is the giving of what has God given us. Let's pray. Father, as we come to you bowed heads and humbled hearts, we ask you to bless this gift that's given of the heart, that we may always give to thee what you have given us. Father, may this gift be used to further promote your word throughout this world. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our closing hymn is "There is a Redeemer," and after we sing this, then we will pray and hear any announcements that there are. Would you stand, please, if it's convenient for you?
Thank you, Lord. Let's pray together. Lord, we are so grateful and thankful for this time together that we have been uplifted. Our prayer is that you have been magnified and honored in this service. Help us, Lord, day by day as we try to walk in your way. When we sin, we ask that you will help us to realize our need to repent and to correct the way that we walk. Be with us now and always, Lord. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.